of pathfinders and great men standing up. But for every great man, a grace is to be released. And mantles, grace, anointings, possibilities, destinies, purposes are going to be released tonight. House on the Rock, in the city of Bauchi. Bauchi people, put those hands together. Help me make welcome my brother, my friend, my pastor, Apostle Joshua Silman.
Hallelujah. Let's bless his name. Father, we give you praise. We bless you, bless you, bless you, because you will do mighty things tonight. We bless your name. Let the name of the Lord be exalted.
There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary. There is a still in the atmosphere. Oh, come lay down the burdens you have carried, for in the sanctuary,
help me with the symbol.
There is a sweet anointing in the sanctuary. There is a stillness in the atmosphere.
Just listen to me, I'm ministering to you.
Oh, come lay down the burdens you have carried.
Clash the cymbal.
For in this sanctuary, God is here. Something special, supernatural about your name, Jesus. Something happens when I met your name.
You are a lot of you. Can you take it higher? Lift your hands as we worship him. Just talk to the Lord tonight. Lift your hands and just talk to him. Tell him, Lord, I desire a visitation, and I know that you will do something remarkable in my life. Shala makatala bakaria. I tell you, God will do mighty things. Yes, Lord, you will do great and awesome things. Mighty, 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 mighty Shaddamalalalalalalosh. Just bless him in the spirit. Hallelujah. 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 The Lord. I prophesy to you, your life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Your life will never be. Your life will never be the same. Your life will never be the same. Your life will never be. You won't go back, you can't go back to the way it used to be. Now that his presence has come to change you. You won't go back, you'll never go back to the way it used to be. His presence is here to change you. Le'amalalamosh, Lord, we won't go back. We'll never be the same the way it used to be. Now that your presence is here to change us. I know your presence will change us. Just clash the cymbal. Don't be afraid. Now that your presence is here to change us. I know your presence will change us. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's a chant in the spirit. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Body, my soul, my spirit. Take my body, my soul, and my spirit. Breathe on me. That should be your prayer tonight. Take my body, my soul, my spirit. Breathe on me. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Take your place. Have your way. Have your way.
Change our lives tonight. Change our lives tonight. Lift us higher tonight. Lift us higher tonight. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Holy, holy is the Lamb. Holy, holy is the Lamb. Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to you for life. Affect my life, breathe on me. Lord, I look to you for life. Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, you are the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost. Change my life tonight. Change my life tonight. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Breathe on me. Shela masina na mana na mani na mos. Come on, worship him in the spirit. This is part of the meeting. Mighty presence is here tonight. Get a boat, get him a second, and a Mariana Marana Mos. Say, Nana Mose, Shena Mosoka, and a Mariana Marana. Hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. Yeah. I hunger. Thirst for you, dry and weary land. I hunger and thirst for you, dry and weary land. For all I want is you. Dry and weary land, I hunger and thirst for you in a dry and weary land. Yeah, yeah,
Spirit of the living God, you will do mighty things. I want you to know that God will visit you in a mighty way, a very mighty way. Please believe it. Hallelujah. There is something about the presence of God. Keep playing, please don't stop. When his presence finds expression, anything that is not him will leave. And we bless him for his majestic presence. I'd like you to speak to the Lord in just 1 minute, and I want you to be very specific and very definite this morning. Tell him, Lord, I have come with certain burdens. I have not come to clap for other people. I have come to contend for my destiny. Can you lift your voice from the depths of your heart? Please pray from the depths of your heart. His presence is mighty in this place. He will sign a signature of his presence upon our lives.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain. He will break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Not only will he break the chains, but there's an army that'll rise this morning, right in this place. There's an army. They're rising up, even in Bauchi State. There's an army rising up with one apostolic mandate to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. They will break every chain, break every chain. They will break every chain. They'll break every chain. They'll break every yoke. They'll break every chain.
You break every chain.
Lord Jesus, thank you for your mighty presence, that majestic presence that makes all the difference. We submit to your majesty, your power. I thank you for the mighty things that you will do. I honor you because you are faithful. Thank you, Spirit of the living God, the agency from the Father that will cause the word of the Lord to come to pass in the lives of your people. Thank you for your mighty presence. Man can fake power, but they cannot fake your presence. Thank you because you will heal the sick. Thank you because decades of captivity will melt away in the sight of your presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's my honor to be here again. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Celebrate, Pastor. God bless you. Hallelujah. I want to honor and appreciate every man of God in this place. Hallelujah. While I sat, can you appreciate them? Bless you, sirs. Bless you, sirs. Hallelujah. I was so blessed by their ministrations. Please, can you sit down? God bless you. Every time Satan wants to destroy you, he will send a man to your life. And every time God wants to lift you to another level, he will send a man to your life. Human beings have always been God's agents of breakthrough and Satan's agents of destruction. And tonight, I know that your life will never be the same. I prayed from the depth of my heart and I asked the Lord to do something remarkable in your life. Gone are the days when people attend meetings and just live with emotional comfort. That you said amen to a prophecy. But the sincere truth is that most of those prophetic words don't come to pass. Because if the words come to pass, the human spirit was designed not to keep quiet when you are blessed. You were designed that way. Jesus begged the people to keep quiet, but they were too grateful. They were not rude, they were just too grateful. It is not in the character of man to keep quiet over good things. But tonight he will put a song in your mouth. He said he has put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord. As I stepped into this place, I saw a lot of angels in this place. So many. Why are you saying amen? Are you just knowing it? Are they not ministering spirits? Sent to minister today that be the heirs of salvation. Hallelujah. Glorify yourself tonight, Lord. Let no flesh glory in your presence. Do what only you can do. Believe me, brothers and sisters, I came tonight angry in my spirit. Tonight is a vigil. And I'm going to do my best to minister to everybody this night. Hallelujah. It was what I was telling the pastor. I trust God that each and everybody will have a definite touch from God. This is my desire. Hallelujah. That's why I asked myself, when are we ending this meeting? Because I don't want any one person to go back the same. We are not faking this thing. You know that, right? Your pastor is not trying to fake that God can bless you. And we don't want the things that God desires for us to do to just stop at the realm of prophecy that never comes to pass. Either the word of God is true or a lie. Period. Hallelujah. But he will do mighty things and glorify his son. He will have a convocation in your life, and as he writes through your life, he will search for anything that does not look like him, and he will take it out of your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Chronicles. Sadabala Katabashidai. I always thank him for the opportunity. I thank him for the anointing. I thank him for the grace. I am one of those people who will never claim that the grace that has been granted unto me is just a product of fasting and prayer. I don't think I fasted my way into this. It's a simple election of grace. There are some realms that are a simple product of God's mercy. Hallelujah. First Chronicles 4. I'll teach a while and then we'll pray and then I'll minister. The Lord is already healing a lady with hepatitis B. The Lord is healing a lady with hepatitis B. Thank you, Jesus. And the Lord is healing someone else with migraine headache. You wake up in the morning, severe pain in the sides of your head. It's going completely by the power of his spirit. We're not in a hurry. The devil is in trouble this morning. Hallelujah. We're not in a hurry at all. God will visit you until everything that does not look like him leaves. 1 Corinthians 4 verse 9. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. Stop. Why will the Bible start by telling us what is supposed to be in the life of Jabez? There is a story that is about to be established. But the Bible says, lest you be confused, Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. So that was his prophetic destiny. That was the word of the Lord. That was the design, the original pattern of God for his life. Let's read on. It says, and his mother bore him in sorrow. Verse 10. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my border or my territory or my coast, and that in thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. The Bible tells us that this guy called Jabez, that he was more honorable. In other words, his life was supposed to be a reflection of honor, even above his contemporaries. But the Bible says, for a predicament that was not his fault, his mother named him. His mother prophesied over his life. The mother put a karagma on his destiny based on the pain that she had on account of him. And the Bible says how that Jabez came to a point in his life where there was a conflict between the prophetic word that should be in his life and what was his reality. And he came to a point where he began to contend with the Lord. He said, oh God, that thou wouldest, since my mother did not bless me, you bless me.
Is somebody following me now? It says, oh, that thou wouldest bless me, enlarge my border. You have called me an honorable man. Every time I sleep, I see honor, but I wake up in shame and sorrow. Oh Lord, when will the prophecy become my testimony? Hallelujah. He said, oh, that thou wouldest bless me. And the Bible says, God granted Jabez his request. May God grant you your request. Because that delayed marriage is not the will of God. That delayed job is not the will of God. We have called many things the will of God that God has no hand in it. The will of God is not a mystery, brothers and sisters. But tonight, not only will there be blessings, there will be a restoration. Because the Bible tells us that the cankerworm can eat the years of a man's life. Not only opportunities, it can eat years. What is this strange creature called a cankerworm that has the ability to eat years? Everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto you. I prophesy, everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto you. Everything that was lost shall be returned. The father of Saul, Samuel, told him, he said, go back home. The donkey you have been looking for has been found. Who found it is none of our business. He said, go back. It has been found. Shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen shall be restored unto you. Arise, it's your time. Arise, I'm speaking to your spirit, man. It's your season. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen shall be restored. Whether it was through your mistake or ignorance is irrelevant. Everything that was lost shall be returned unto you. Everything that was stolen shall be returned unto you. The friends that were lost, they are returning unto you. The opportunities that were stolen, they are returning unto you. Listen, I was sharing with the pastor. I was in House on the Rock, Mina, for a miracle service that we had. And while I was there, there was someone who had applied for a job, and this thing was just not working. Listen, I'm going to teach, and I'm going to open you up to the spiritual dimension of life, that nothing just happens. Prophecy does not create, it doesn't reveal alone, it creates. Are you getting what I'm saying? The prophetic is not just a revelatory dimension, it's creative. That means what is not there can be made to be there. He said, by this time tomorrow. He was not revealing what would have happened anyway. The word created that scenario. What many people know about the prophetic is just revelatory. Oh, your name is pastor, this and that. You already know it. But there is a creative dimension that you call things that are not and force them to be. If God can only reveal and not create, he should not call himself God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If all God can do is to reveal but not create, he's not qualified to be God. He is called God because he can remove this door and put it here to make sure that the opportunity you miss, you enter it back. This is what makes him God. Listen, if it was designed that you must pass through this door and you have passed it, the prophecy takes the door wherever it is and puts it back. And I said, who works in First Bank? And Pastor Pete, the pastor in House on the Rock, Mina, said, there's nobody. All the bankers there said is access and this. I said, no. First Bank. The Lord is telling me to prophesy First Bank. Hallelujah. Little did we know that there was somebody that had been struggling to apply for job First Bank. This thing was not working. Sunday, brothers and sisters, by that night, they called him that he had gotten the job. On Sunday, do they give it? Sunday night. Many of you do not know the power of prophecy. The Bible says some children were laughing at a prophet because he was bald-headed. He used a word, created an animal from nowhere. It ate them and went back and disappeared. Listen, if God calls you a woman, you will change to a woman. He's not trying to say what you are. Are you listening to me? This was the dimension that Adam functioned in. When the Bible says he named the animals, I've said it, he didn't call them lion. It's scientists that call lion, lion. He gave them their identity. So God looks at darkness. He didn't say, darkness, you are here. He said, light, be. And the Bible says it was. And everything that he said, he saw. Tonight, God will empower us to say some things that your eyes will see. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jabez was a man who was destined to walk in honor and to walk in dignity. But the Bible tells us that he, because of the predicament of his mother, the mother bore him in sorrow and she decided to name him Sorrow. And the name began to follow him. I can imagine Jabez in a situation where nothing in his life was working. Hallelujah. And he came to a point where he cried. He said, oh God, is this how my life will continue to be? Was it my fault that my mother had birth pains? He said, Lord, will you not bless me and enlarge my coast? Brothers and sisters, a time comes in the life of any man when you need to contend with destiny. Are you hearing me? A time must come in your life when you will stand and say, Lord, today is the day that it will change. Some of us are waiting for God. You may wait forever. There is a way you hold on to God and say, Lord, let men see I'm desperate. That's their cup of tea. It's me and you. I will discuss with them when I get the miracle. But for now, I'm very serious about this issue and I do not plan to give up. It takes a level of dissatisfaction. That's why the Bible says, woe unto them who are at ease in Zion. There is a level of complacency that will punish you in life. It takes some degree of aggression to lay claims on that which has been given unto you. This is what we are here to do tonight. For 38 years, the Bible says, a man lay at a pool called Bethesda. The pastor shared it. Hallelujah. 38 years. But in less than 2 minutes, he was up. Meaning Jesus had no hand with his 38 years captivity. You see that? He would have remained there and convinced himself that it was the will of God. And Jesus proved that he had no hand. Get up, take your bed, go.
this was what he was waiting for 38 years. That your situation has been long does not mean it is the will of God. Force it to change this night. Hallelujah. There are so many things that are heavy in my spirit. I lay down to rest a bit. I couldn't even rest. Because the Lord was showing me a lot of things. And I was saying, Lord, let me just rest. I'm soon going to come up and God will not just allow me rest because of so many things. Even right now, I'm trying to share, but there are so many visions that are just coming. But I want to have some time to teach before we minister. But my heart is just heavy and is responding to the hunger of the people. This is how it works. Let's just establish something. Genesis 32. Look at me. I want everybody to say wickedness is real. One, two, go. Say it again. One more time. One of the strategies, I preach a message, a prophetic insight into God's agenda. You can get it. And in that teaching, I began to open the body of Christ to the revelation that there is an agenda that God is carrying out right now in the earth. Hallelujah. And then I also exposed to the body of Christ the agenda of Satan. And one of it, listen, is what we call secular humanism. You know what secular humanism is? Using common sense and logic to erode spiritual things. Are you getting me? So there are all kinds of teachings, intellectual teachings that say there is no Satan. The devil you have is the one in your mind. Have you had those kinds of teachings? The only devil is your mind. And of course, I understand that there is a balance. You get what I'm saying? There are people that they mean the stronghold in your mind. But there are people who say there is nothing like Satan. Demons are not real. They don't exist. And we try to convince ourselves. Hallelujah. This was the tragedy of the American church. Right from the 70s into the 90s, they brought all kinds of gospels that made them to think that when you are just born again, that's all, everything, there's no need for any other thing. And Satan kept strategizing an arsenal over decades. And now look at what the American church is. How many Americans are invited to Nigeria right now? Almost none. Hallelujah. It used to be a great thing. Right now you invite an American, you come and find two or three members together with him. Nothing to give again. Because there had been a plot. Who would have known? I say it everywhere I go. If you are considering marriage, make sure the person you are marrying is of the opposite sex. Make sure. Who would have known that you need to re-educate people that two men are not the same as a man and a woman? Or a man is not the same as a man and a dolphin? Or a man and a cat? Can you imagine how secular humanism, the devil takes a hold of the minds of intellectual people and begins to blind them and degrade and dehumanize them? This is because they did not understand what the Bible calls the mystery of wickedness. It said the whole world lieth in wickedness. Brothers and sisters, I wish this were not true. I wish there was a way I could convince you and just pamper you and make you feel that the concept of wickedness is an illusion. If I call you a woman, it doesn't change the fact that you're a man, no matter how I convince myself. Is that true? So whether you say Satan exists or not is irrelevant. He does. His signature is everywhere. The Bible says the thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, to destroy. In other words, he has certain traits that characterize his presence in a place. When he comes into a life, he comes into certain destinies, he will wreck and jeopardize them. The second teaching that the devil has brought in the body of Christ, and please, I'm sorry if I offend you, is the imbalance, or what I call the imbalance of the born-again gospel. Are you getting me? There is a very wrong theology about the concept of born again that has kept people in captivity. Hallelujah. The Bible says, this is a popular scripture they use. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is what? All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Is that true? Now, what people do not understand is that God is a prophetic personality by default. And in the character of his communication, he communicates as though things already are. For instance, the Bible says you are the head and not the tail. Is that true? But then Hebrews begins to break it down. It says, although God has put all things under his feet, he said, we do not yet see. In other words, although this is a reality from God's perspective, there are still contentions in the earth realm that militate against these things becoming a present reality. Are you following me now? The Bible says you are blessed, but you go to your account and you don't find anything. So while you are tithing, you are not negating what God said. You are aligning to see it come to pass. Are you getting me now? Now, there is a very wrong teaching that has punished believers in the body of Christ. And that theology is the fact that once you are in Christ, hallelujah, everything is over. Are you getting me? Masturbation disappears. Lust disappears. You are just there. No demon disturbs you. No oppression. All of the yokes and curses just vanish automatically. Brothers and sisters, I have seen Jesus. It's not true. Are you getting me? Please, if you understand my gospel this night, you will be delivered from a lot of things. The Bible tells us that Jabez's mother gave birth to him in sorrow. I hope you know he was not there in the naming. I mean, he was not alive and well in the naming ceremony. Did it follow him? Look up. How many of you have had these strange statements that they look at somebody's leg and say the person matched poison? Tell me the truth. Just tell me the truth. Question. Did the person have faith that the charm will work? Did he believe the charm will work? Yet it still work. Is that true? Do you know, brothers and sisters, the devil is so satisfied with the framework of the theology that is in the Nigerian church, save for what God is already beginning to do. The theology, the devil has mapped out an excellent theology in the body of Christ that permits him to ride in and out of lives at will. It has become a stronghold that will not let people break through. And we got this from the American church. Now, they are not wrong, except for the fact that they refuse to contend further to see that there are other dimensions that complete this equation. And there are many people. Oh, I'm born again. You have seen everybody in your family not getting married. At the same age, people are dying. You are seeing a lot of patterns. Faith is not stupidity. Are you getting me? There is a difference between faith and stupidity. Even their spellings are not the same. So there are lots of people, let me tell you the truth, in the body of Christ, tongue talking, under all kinds of yokes and bondages. And they have convinced themselves that everything is okay. And that's the stronghold that Satan has used to buffet lives and families.
So there are all kinds of things. People having issues and issues and issues. The Bible is a compendium of the wisdom and the character and the principles of God, that by the agency of the Spirit we may understand how the kingdom operates. Hallelujah. Are you following me now? So the first thing I want you to know is that there is a conspiracy against the church. And this conspiracy, the devil uses it is written, like his character is. Every time Satan comes, he does not use anything outside the word. The same way you use the word, Satan also uses the word. I hope you know, when he came to Jesus, he was quoting scriptures. That a man is speaking scriptures does not mean that is the counsel of God necessarily. Are you following me now? So there is a conspiracy. Sisters, listen to me. There is a conspiracy. There are many people, many of our brothers, our sisters, the devil turns your decree into a paper, all kinds of things happening in the earth realm. We have given all kinds of scientific and metaphysical explanations. Can I tell you the truth? If we do not contend for spiritual intelligence to keep the devil where he belongs, the church is going to die as if Jesus told a lie that he died for us. Look at the way many believers are helpless. How many times have you prayed and fasted about your situation and then the devil mocks you on top of it? The day you are rounding up the fast, he repeats what made you to start the fasting to prove to you that there is something you are not getting. Is that true? That's what the preacher said. They convinced themselves, oh, we are great, we are this. Then the next thing, you find one scandal. Then before he reconciles, another scandal. And the devil is making a shipwreck of the church. And we are presenting an image that is not of Christ. The Bible tells us, don't turn there, that Jesus gave a parable in the wedding of Cana. Is that true? Have you read it? The Bible says that was the first miracle of Jesus. Every miracle is a prophetic picture to the structure and the activity of the kingdom. It was an adumbration of how the kingdom operates. So it's not just a story. Hallelujah. It's a code. It's a spiritual code that unlocks a dimension of how the kingdom operates. It takes discernment to uncover and unshroud what it is that God was talking about. The Bible says there was a feast. Everybody say a feast. And in that feast, the Bible tells us that there were rulers. Say rulers. Who were these great rulers? Let me tell you who they were. MOG, apostle, prophet, the happening people. The Bible says they were in the feast. Yet Jesus was in that same feast and he was somewhere forgotten in the crowd while some other people were doing ministry. Follow me, please. I'm showing you what is happening to the Nigerian church. Are you getting me? It was prophetically adumbrated. Because you see, brothers and sisters, Nigeria is very prophetic and pivotal to what God is doing in this season. I hope you realize that. You have had a lot of prophecy from meetings and the rest. These things are not just hearsay. It's true. If there is time, I will show you Nigeria from the Bible. I will show you that it was not Lord Lugard that amalgamated us. There had been prophecy right in the book of Isaiah about Nigeria. Nigeria is the nation before Christ comes that will show the body of Christ a true portrait of apostolic and prophetic Christianity. Yes. Absolutely. In the 50s and 60s, the mandate of God was upon the continent of Europe. Please follow me. Hallelujah. And then eventually it shifted to America. Down the 70s, the Word of Faith and all the Azusa Street and the mighty charismatic revivals. And then the danger is those people began to intercourse with Babylon, this mystery system that does not honor God. Are you getting me? So their wine began to be corrupted with water. Are you following me now? Demons began to take on the pulpit
And many people did not understand. And so to be able to preserve that, listen to me very carefully, to be able to preserve that, what happened was that the mantle shifted to the Asian nation, and it was preserved because they had the spirit of holiness. These are express revelations that the Lord gave me by the Spirit. The continent of Asia, in spite of their heterogeneous religions, they were able to preserve it, because the final place of delivery is Africa. That's where salvation. Listen, are you getting my point? Does it make sense to you what I'm sharing? Africa is that one continent that will show the world a sample of the true bride of Christ before Jesus comes. There is no confusion about it. Hallelujah. Europe, America, and Africa stand for the three sons of Noah. The Bible says that when the earth was destroyed, there were 8 people, a prophetic number for new beginning. Noah, his wife, the three sons and their wives. Is that true? And there's no time I would have shown you how that all of the sons have received these things and failed God. There is one continent left. And if they fail God, God may have to wait for another generation to pass. There is one continent. And in this continent, the Lord revealed to me that there are 3 nations that will play prophetic roles. Number 1, Nigeria. Number 2, Ghana. Number 3, South Africa. These 3 nations will be prophetic pillars, because the Bible says that a threefold cord cannot be broken. And he said, he that escapes the sword of Elisha, Jehu will strike. It's a prophetic spiritual strategy. The order of 3. It has been like that. Peter, James, and John, they were the pillars and the structure of the church. That's why when Satan killed James, they beheaded James, he wanted to go for Peter. He was looking for the pillars. Hallelujah. So Ghana received the prophetic mantle. Listen to me. South Africa received the kingly mantle. Nigeria received the prophetic mantle, the apostolic mantle. But something in the passage of time, something began to happen. Ghana started corrupting their prophetic with traditional Christianity. They started mixing. I'm giving you revelations that the Spirit of God opened up to me. He said, the things that I tell you in the secret place, declare thou upon the mountain. Ghana started polluting the prophetic. So they were mixing magic. Are you getting my point? They were mixing a lot of magic and everything. And South Africa began to come, they began to mix Christianity with secularism. Because of the liberalization, everything, liberalization. So they have a lot of, they liberalize everything, and they lack the spirit of reverence that will sustain the mantle until the time the shofar blows. And so something happened. In 2005, there was a switch. The prophetic and the kingly returned to Nigeria. Hold on. But let me tell you, it's coded in people that do not even know they are carrying the mantles yet. It was sealed. So it's not the people you are seeing on TV. Even the people, there are 7,000 others under the custody of Obadiah. People have not seen them. It's like a terrorist camp. And God is training them, men of dexterity and power. Men who will command authority like you have not seen. They are scattered across. And there are 2 ways that God is doing this in Nigeria. The first is he's creating training camps and mission fields. Are you getting me? Training camps are the places where he's training these people. I'll give you an example of training camps, university campuses. Are you seeing that? So God is giving some people admission regardless of their jam. Not because of degree, anything. He wants to enroll them so that they find their way. They do not even know as at yet that they are carriers of those mantles. Hallelujah. And even in Nigeria, there is a spiritual separation between the north and the south. And I'll explain to you why that is so. Hallelujah. I want to say something that will sound as if I'm biased, but it's not true. The center
of this apostolic movement and revival is the north. Listen, the Bible says in Mount Zion, the side of the north, the city, that's where the king lives. It's in your Bible. It said promotion comes neither from the east, nor the south, nor the west. It didn't mention north because it comes from the north. He said, ye have compassed this mountain long enough, turn northwards. That's why even in your geography, we have true north, not true south, not true east, true north. Hallelujah. You know why? Because in the north, we are surrounded by hostility. So it does not give you room. It is the exact atmosphere that will keep this baby of this new revival. Please follow me. Let's go back to the story. I just digress to help you understand the wedding in Cana. So the Bible says that there was a feast. And in that feast, there was old wine. Say old wine. And a lot of people, now please don't, I have deep respect for all the servants of God in this country. Are you getting my point? It's simply for the purpose of revelation. I'm not in any way trying to look down on them. I've taught it again and again. Although the eyes of Eli, which is a type of our fathers, was getting dim, it took Eli to tell Samuel that it was the voice of God. So we will still need them even as we transit. Are you getting my point?
Before your presence came and changed me,
are you following me so far? So the Bible says the feast was on. Brothers and sisters, Jesus Christ was in the crowd. They did not even recognize him, yet he was there. Is that not amazing? That we can be doing ministry. I want you to know the conspiracy. I'm unveiling to you the conspiracy. This is just part one of the teaching. The conspiracy. We are examining the conspiracy that has kept the church so powerless. That's why people come with cancer. They come with everything. And if all we have, brothers and sisters, is celebrating people from wheelchair, thank God for that. But let me tell you the truth. There are very few people on wheelchairs. Are you getting my point? The problem people have is more than wheelchair. I'm not against wheelchair miracle, but I am saying in a congregation, I'm not sure there's anybody on wheelchair here, but there are some people that are on financial wheelchairs, spiritual wheelchairs, marital wheelchairs. Hallelujah. Is that true? Help us, Lord. Let's see how far we can go. And the Bible says, and the wine finished. Everybody say the wine finished. This is what is happening around the body of Christ and the church in Nigeria. I wish it were not true. But let me tell you, many of the rema that you are hearing, that you call rema today, the wine has finished. There is a new move that is coming that will etch them out. Because they do not sustain the accuracy that would take the church to the level of power it takes to bring Jesus back. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not like there are not revelations. He made many lights first. These are the many lights. But there are two great lights that are coming. And the Bible says when those lights appear, overshadow those other lights. So there are lights, many lights, but there are great lights that are coming. Hallelujah. And then in the midst of that feast, which is a type of what is happening in the body of Christ, a revival started disguising itself. The Bible says the wine finished, the people were worried, but the men of God were still doing ministry as usual, whereas there was no wine again to feed the people. Church was still going on. Conventions and conferences were still going. Are you getting me? Yet the wine had finished.
So what would you feed the people? But the rituals of church were still going on. Are you getting me? And then the Bible says, certain men, they didn't even know why they started mobilizing themselves. And the Bible gives them a very interesting name. It called them servants. That's all. That's the only description it gives them. It says servants. They went and met Mary, who in that parable is a type of the Holy Spirit, and began to inquire, why is this wine finished? Whereas other people were still carried by the euphoria of the old wine, some people began to express dissatisfaction, and they came together. This is what is happening in the body of Christ. They started coming together, and the Bible says they met Mary, and they said, "Tor, we don't know the person who will rescue and salvage this situation." And Mary took them to Jesus. When she took them to Jesus, they said, "Jesus, help us." And he said, "Ah, you are finally recognizing me? I sat quietly. Nobody recognized me. It's not yet my time. You people have not honored me." And the Bible says, Mary looked at them and said, "If you want to be part of this, whatever he tells you to do, do it." This will be the character of this new army. They are a doing people, men who have no ambition of themselves. The Joel 2 army, whatever he tells you to do, do it. And Jesus said, "Now you are ready to get my interest." And he said, "Go ahead and get 6 pots." In other words, this revival will be carried away, it will be carried on by men. 6 is the number of a man. So it's not some super spirit somewhere that will do it. Human beings will be the ones to be carriers of this grace. Are you following me now? But when Jesus was about to interrupt, he never talked of anointing. He said, "Fill the pot with water." That's the first thing that will happen to the body of Christ. It's not the issue of anointing. There must be a purification. Are you getting me, please? Am I boring you? Is it making sense to you? This is why you notice that there is a lot of contention. A lot of people are already asking questions in the body of Christ. Is this all? Is this all we will keep watching every day? Is this all we will keep hearing every day? I'm tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. I'm tired of the status quo. There's gotta be more than this. There's gotta be more, gotta be. Help me say, gotta be more than this. 'Cause desperate people do desperate things, and we're pressing me. 'Cause gotta be more, gotta be more, gotta be more than this. We are desperate people, we want more and more, Lord. Desperate people, we want more, more, Lord. Truly, we are tired of the status quo. It's gotta be more than this. Listen, why will I say in the name of Jesus, doors be open, and only one person will return with a testimony? I mean, come on, we call him the mighty one, Jehovah this and that. We name him all kinds of names. Oh, you are blessed, you are this. And believers are saying, somebody is deceiving somebody here.
Gotta be more than this. It's gotta be more.
If God cannot prove himself now, why should I believe that he died for me? Yet the Bible says he's the same. So if he gave his son that is bigger than my healing and it does not heal me, does it make sense to believe? There needs to be a demonstration of the reality of the kingdom. We want more, more, Lord. And they moved to Jesus. And he said, "Fill the pot with water." And the Bible says they filled the pot with water. He said, "Now fetch that water." In other words, the anointing is going to come as a product of the spirit of true holiness and the fear of the Lord. Because it was the water that started changing to wine. And it changed as they went.
They didn't wait till it became wine. And the Bible says when they took it to the rulers were about to round up the feast. Suddenly they saw that a new move. That's why I feel sorry for a lot of men of God who believe that the revelations they have now is the ultimate that there can be. I tell you, there is an army. They are quiet people. They are not yet on TV. They are like David. They are killing bears and lions. They are the ones who will conquer this Goliath of cancers and sicknesses that are roaring and disgracing the church of God. They may not have the charisma, they may not have the qualifications, they may not have the ability to articulate grammatically, but boy, they have power. And when they speak, Goliath knows that they may smell the wilderness, but there is still an anointing upon them.
It's gotta be more, gotta be more, it's gotta be more than this. It's gotta be more, it's gotta be more.
When it was time for God to begin to break the stronghold of denominationalism and barriers, it was a very difficult thing because the spirit of religion is not a phenomenon, it's a spirit. Hallelujah. It had created rituals that will not allow the Holy Spirit to find expression. And so the Holy Spirit brought a strategy, and the strategy was to begin to set up apostolic platforms that are non-church to neutralize the barrier of religion. So that if they won't allow you to come on Sunday, you can go for a prayer meeting and a vigil like this. You see that? And then the force began to be much such that these religious doors could no longer hold it. Right now, every church has people filled with the Holy Ghost and loves God, regardless of what the beliefs are. There are Catholics, there are Protestants, cherubim and seraphim. That's not God's business. All he's looking for is a recruit of this army.
It's gotta be more, gotta be more. It's gotta be more than this.
Hallelujah. And the Bible says this was the first miracle of Jesus. When they took the wine to the rulers, they were surprised. Because this wine was sweeter. This wine was better. And they said, where was this wine brewed that we did not know? We are not aware. The Bible says the rulers did not know, only the servants. Hallelujah. That is going to be the fundamental posture to be used by God in this season. God is no longer looking for emojis. He's looking for servants. They are the ones who will be committed the deep revelations of the Spirit. Revelation chapter 1 verse 1. Don't turn there. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which he gave unto his servant. Not into his man of God, his servant. It will take that servant heart. The rulers were only concerned about their position. But the servants were desperately concerned about the people. When the Lord was talking to Joshua in Joshua 1, he said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Hallelujah. Psalms 89 from verse 20 downwards, it says, I have found David, my servant. So this is a dimension of servants right now. They are the ones that God will call. You know why? Because they do not consider themselves to be nothing. And that's the exact raw material God needs to manifest his glory. So that in the apex of the anointing and the grace, they will know that he picked me from the dunghill. Are you following me, please? This is what is happening in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 2005, the Lord told me that there will be a springing forth of television ministries in this country. And the Lord told me there will be 35 of them. When I said it, people laughed at me. Say, what? I mean, who would have imagined that you can own a TV station and start doing a lot of things? You see them springing. It's a prophetic agenda. Hallelujah. It's a prophetic agenda. Even all the things you see concerning the election of Nigeria and everything is a prophetic agenda. It's a big prophetic agenda. I told people that the election in this country will be done spiritually and it will be done next year, not 2015.
Hallelujah.
In 2007, I prophesied that a recession was coming. I woke up with a vision and I told people a big recession was coming. People criticized, it's on record. And in 2008, bam, the recession came. And I said, this is one, number two is coming. And I'm announcing to you, it's coming next year. 2014 will bring the second recession greater than the first one. It's in the Bible. It's in your Bible. There will be a shaking. It's a breaking down of the arrogance of Babel. Men who believe that they will build an empire out of God. One more time, he will use the foolishness. Listen. Listen, let me tell you something. Recession and financial hardship cannot be prayed away. You can only exempt yourself. It's a written judgment. You don't pray it away. It is going to come upon the nations. What you can do is to exempt yourself.
Gotta be more, it's gotta be more than this.
I prayed for people years ago with all kinds of sicknesses, cancer, HIV, whatever. They were not healed. Brothers and sisters, they were not healed. And while many emojis were happy, I was asking God questions. I prayed for barren people, they didn't give birth. I'm not one of those men of God that will lie. If it didn't happen, it didn't happen. There's nothing like it. It didn't happen, period. Every miracle that happened in the Bible was clear enough for everybody to see. I prayed for people. There were few pockets of things here, and I said, Lord, something is wrong. Fear not. Even if you die, we'll raise you back. Remember, I was in a teaching like this. Remember your Bible. Some of you don't read your Bible. You only read about tithing and giving. Hallelujah. Say after me, in the name of Jesus, I'm stepping into new dimensions. So conspiracy, this is the first thing that is happening in the body of Christ. There are teachings that are very innocent but are wrong. I want to give you a just very briefly, we're entering part two now. A balanced view about the reality. Careful. A lot of things are happening. Please take it easy. Hallelujah. Brothers and sisters, listen. Let me tell you something. Who is this guy we call Satan? Who is Satan, really? This Satan guy. Please let me have somebody. You are not Satan in Jesus' name, but I need somebody. Anybody? One of the workers? No, your protocol. You can't be Satan. No, no. Ah, madam, in Jesus' name. No, come, sir. You are not Satan in Jesus' name. Just for this example, okay? Listen. Story. Once upon a time, in heaven, once upon a time, before Genesis 1 verse 1 and verse 2, I want to tell you a little story. Because when Jesus came, he gave us a very serious story that many believers do not know. When they were talking about Satan, he said, you are of your devil or your father, Satan. He said he was a murderer. Ah, where was that story? That means this old serpent story is a long story. There are many things that happen. We just came in the middle of history. Is that in your Bible? Who is this guy called Satan? I want to tell you a little story. The Bible tells us that there was this being and this creature called Lucifer. Everybody say Lucifer. Lucifer means the shining one, the one that emits light. Are you following me now? Now, there were the structure of the hierarchy before man came. I'm going to tell you a lot of things that will shock and surprise you. Hallelujah. Are you ready? Let's take the first shot. Adam was not the first man. Just take that shot. Are you ready?
Number two, the creation in Genesis 1 from verse 2 was a recreation. That was not the original creation. Something happened. So just keep these two shots as we continue. Praise God. Now, there was this guy called Satan. The structure, listen please, the structure of the organogram of heaven, listen please, was such that after the angels, they were inhabitants in the earth. Are you getting me? They were what? Inhabitants in the earth. The Garden of Eden is not in the earth realm. Are you getting me? That's why they cannot find it. The Garden of Eden was only a sample that was brought from heaven so that by creativity and reproduction, man would reproduce it. When he compromised, listen, look at the people that guarded the Garden of Eden, the cherubim and the flaming sword. Is that an earthly language? Where are they? Where are the cherubims? I will prove to you that the Garden of Eden is still intact. The Bible tells us that in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees. Is that true? The tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Is that true? Man was supposed to choose from one of them. The whole journey from Genesis to Revelation is the journey of man choosing these trees. In Revelation, we see the garden, the tree of life is still there, intact at the throne of God. We do not see the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because man has made his choice of life by revelation now. Is that true? Oh, it's there. That's why the Bible says, and he said, come and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. He said, and I saw a city. That was the city that came down the first time. Eden is still intact, brothers and sisters. Scientists will look for it in vain. Anyway, so this guy called Satan or Lucifer, then there was a portal that opened. Then people did not have this barrier of firmament that stopped them. There was an interaction between heaven and earth realm. Here, are you following me now? That's why when you carbon date rocks, they tell you there are millions of years. Is that true? Scientists tell us that there were some creatures called dinosaurs that spit fire. It was not a lie. They carbon date rocks and they tell you there are millions of years. They have found certain human fossils that are more than the age of the earth as we know. Is that true? What is this hidden story that we do not yet know? If you do not understand this, Satan will fool you. If you get this, there are some people, these are the carpenters that will threaten the horns that the Bible says. Satan keeps fooling people because that's his work, deception. The word lie there does not mean negate the truth. It means to deceive. And that's what deception is. Witchcraft means to cause people to err through the tool of deception. That's why Paul says, oh foolish Galatians, Christians, tongue-talking people, who has bewitched you? Who has brought you to a point where you are erring using deception? Are you following me, please? We are building, we are going somewhere this night. You will see how easy it will be. You see, because faith is not just a product of confession, it's a product of revelation. Are you getting me? I'm standing upon this. I have a revelation of the strength of this material. I know it's not going to break. I'm not trying to have faith. Revelation makes you solid in faith. Are you getting me now? So a lot of people are claiming things they don't have light for. That's why it's not working. Help us all. So this Lucifer guy, he was, okay, let me just give you a brief description of the organogram of heaven before man, as we know, Adam, came into being. After the messenger angels, listen, after the messenger angels, we have the seraphs. Are you following me now? After the seraphs, we have the cherubs or the cherubims. After the cherubims, it was God, the Trinity now. This was the organogram. Are you seeing why Satan, who was the value cherub, was close to God? And among the cherubims, because there were many cherubims, but the Bible tells us about three. Michael, the archangel, who was in charge of war. Is that true? Gabriel, the archangel in charge of service. And Lucifer, the archangel in charge of worship. So this guy called Satan today was the archangel, the worship leader in heaven. And not the worship there is not singing. He is the one who is responsible for displaying anything that reflects the glory of God. That's why his object of creation was light. This thunder, when thunder strikes, that lightning was the object, the material of creation of the angelic realm. I saw Satan translating himself like light. It's in your Bible. That was the material of their creation. They were not made from dust. Watch this. Satan had so much authority because he was the closest cherub to the presence of God. He was also changing, because there is a law in the spirit. Any man that beholds God changes. It's a law. Paul began to tell us of that law. As we behold, we are what? Change. So it's a law. It's not, Paul just revealed it. It had been there. Any man that looks at God must change. So because Satan was perpetually standing before the presence of God, he kept translating. So the excellency of his personality was even higher than the other angels. And one day he said, I am conforming to the image of God so much. He said, I will exalt myself. Are you seeing it now? This was not a rebellion. There's no time I would have shown you. Satan did not rebel alone. There were other angels that followed him. Apollyon, Leviathan. All these are angels. Are you getting me? This is the whole thing about the mystery of the Bermuda Triangle. These were circumferences of the fall of these angelic realms. Portals that lead people to realms outside this earth. There are physical portals that take people out of the earth realm. I can show you from scripture. Jacob slept, he had a dream. He said, this is the gate of heaven. There was a portal. Elijah, when he was about to go out physically, he went beyond the Jordan. He knew there was a portal that checked him out bodily. Is that true? There are real portals. Jesus of Nazareth, when he was about to go in Acts chapter 1, he went to a particular portal and he started levitating till he left. And the Bible says when he comes, there will be a portal that will open up to him too. So it's geography that told us the earth is round. The earth is not round. Nobody knows the true shape of the earth. You need to be God to see the true shape of the earth. Soon they would make one discovery now and still confuse us again. Look, let me tell you, just trust your Bible. End yourself all kinds of ridiculous confusion. People can't. Just trust your Bible. They used to say the sun rises from the east, sets in the west. Now it has changed. The planets are revolving. When we discover some galaxies and now say the sun is bouncing. You see, so these are our planes of perception. That's why the Bible says the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. Are you getting blessed, please? I'm doing something to your spirit. I want to demystify this guy called Satan and reduce him to nothing. And you will see the power of God flow this night. Satan knows that there are some people that know this hidden story. It's not everybody that is threatened by his... Now, when Goliath was roaring, David said, I know you. You can fool everybody, but there are some people that know you. He said, Goliath, before I throw you, let me even tell you how it will happen. It will first be your head. Look at the confidence that David was speaking with. So when the devil comes and he's shaking your zinc, say, calm down, don't disturb me. You will even pray about it. Hallelujah. Are you following me now? That was the organogram. Satan, Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14, he said he would lift up himself. I said it in our meeting. Satan is not the opposite of Jesus. Don't ever try to. If there is any opposite, it's Michael. Are you getting me? Because the Bible says when there was war in heaven,
By the way, isn't it interesting that even in heaven there was war? Let it not surprise you that there is war in the earth realm. Even in heaven, where God dwells, there was war. There was a contention. And the Bible says, Michael bound Satan, cast him down. Revelations. And there was a lamentation, woe to the inhabitants of the earth. He said, for that great dragon, Satan, he has been casted to the earth and he has come with great anger and fury. That's why uncontrolled anger is a first sign that somebody is under demonic influences. Uncontrolled anger. This is from the Bible. This is Satan's ultimate signature of work in the life of a man. How many angry preachers do we have on our stage who claim nothing is wrong with them? You see what we are saying now? Who is deceiving who, for God's sake? I'm sorry, yo. Praise the Lord. And so Satan was cast down to the earth together with one third of the angels. That's what Revelation tells us. One third of the angels were, see how many they were. Satan mobilized a rebellion. He convinced these people, hallelujah, that if they can dethrone God, he will sit as God, and then they will be the members of his cabinet. Are you getting me? It was the same spirit that was operating when they came and met, the mother of James came and met Jesus and said, please, can you put your children? Are you seeing that? Same spirit. The character of Satan and God are all consistent in scripture. So when you understand the pathway of the spirit, you can read the handwritings on the wall at once. This is what we call discernment. The ability to understand spiritual things. Praise the Lord. So, Genesis chapter 1 verse 1, the dateless past. In the beginning, what beginning? God created the heavens and the earth. Heavens, that means it's not just one. You know there are many heaven planes. There are many planes in heaven. It is the heaven of heavens. That's where God dwells. There are many heavens. Paul said he was caught to the third heaven, meaning there was second, there's first. Is that true? That's why a lot of people have been caught up into every kind of realm. They call it heaven. They were caught up into astral, demonic, satanic realms. And they came back with all kinds of junk and claimed that they met God. You see where the deceit comes from? Some of you are now looking at me. You, who are you? Whose side are you? I'm not on anybody's side. I'm the voice of one calling.
It's gotta be more, gotta be more. It's gotta be more than this.
Hallelujah. So when Satan came down, he was roaming around the earth. Listen, it was the judgment and the war in heaven that caused the darkness in Genesis 1 verse 2. You understand now? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said now the earth was dark. Void. How can God create that? Between Genesis 1 verse 1 and 1 verse 2 was millions of years. There was a story between those two. That's the story in Genesis. Are you seeing that? So when it was time for the earth to be recreated according to the eternal purposes of God, he said, light be. That light was not sunlight. I hope you know. Because the sunlight were created later. That light was the quality of God that enables existence. He said, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. Hallelujah. And so he said, light be, and he started creating everything again. Now watch this. Watch this. Watch this. There is a difference between what we call hellfire and the lake of fire. I hope you know that. Hell is not just a location. Hell is a spirit. Hell itself will be casted into the lake of fire. It's in Revelations. The lake of fire is part of God's kingdom. It had been existing before Adam. Ah. The lake of fire is part of God's kingdom. It is the presence of the lake of fire that seals the fact that righteousness and justice
at the foundations of his throne. Is it not in your Bible? What is the justice there? Praise the Lord. The Lord help us in Jesus' name. So when God created man, now look at this. I'm helping you appreciate who Satan is and what he's not. Satan and all these demons were roaming around. And then, suddenly Satan saw light. He was once in heaven. And he saw a lot of things and he started stationing himself with all these demon spirits. I will tell you what is Satan's problem with man. My brother, you have been standing. Now you are man. You are not Satan again. Hallelujah. Watch this. What was Satan really looking for? I hope you know Satan has been looking for something from Genesis till his punishment in Revelation. There is something Satan is looking for. It's not drugs. It's not sex. Satan doesn't care about all those kind of things. It's not even money. What is he really looking for? If you don't know what Satan is looking for, you will not even know how to drive him. What was he looking for? Let me tell you. Satan already had the likeness of God. Two hands, two eyes. What he wanted was the image of God. The image of God is that spiritual quality that makes God God. Are you getting me? He wanted it because if Satan has it, then he can be called God. He is permitted. Whoever has the image of God should be called a God. Know ye not that ye that now have... Hold on, calm down. We are getting there. Let's not rush. I was just whetting your appetite. Follow me. It's a journey. Praise God. It's a law in the realm of the spirit. Whoever has the image of God is permitted to be called God. Hallelujah. So Satan wanted this image badly. And after the judgment, they threw Satan down. Watch this. Satan was watching from a distance when God was creating man. Satan started seeing the dust that he once walked on. God began to mold it. And he said, God, what are you doing? And he watched God breathe that image. And Satan said, no way. This is injustice. That's why occultic people keep saying that God was unjust to Satan. They keep saying it till tomorrow. It's the theology that Satan gave them. Satan said, I was made out of material of light, yet you refuse to give me this image. And because I rebelled, you punished me. Now you took dust, Adam, and breathed yourself into that dust, and you gave that dust your status. For wherever I see that man, I will destroy that man. This injustice must be balanced. This is the whole story from Genesis to Revelation. Are you seeing that now? I will show you why Satan will not leave your family till you keep him. Many of you who convince yourself, oh, I'm born again. Adam did not sin. From birth, Satan started looking for him. Talk more of you with all the many plenty things that we have done. Are you understanding me? This is the hidden part of the gospel that we have been giving people. You get the whole thing right now? Adam was born a son of God. He was not made. He was born a son. I mean, you get what I'm saying? The begotten. Adam was a similitude of Jesus Christ. Every other man came to a woman. He came through a woman. Adam, listen. If you look at Adam in heaven now, you will still see the difference between him and other creation. God himself molded Adam. That perfection is still there. Are you getting my point? That was why he put him in a garden called Eden, a land of perfection. And when he put him there, notice he said, and Elohim made man, that Adam, in his image and likeness. And he told that man, he said what? Be fruitful, multiply, subdue. That's a war, that's a language of warfare from Genesis. Subdue. Who is the enemy roaming around? He said, you will have to subdue. This is God speaking. Part of the package. Unfortunately, we only know be fruitful and multiply. But he said subdue. For you to have dominion, you must subdue. Can we pray in tongues in 1 minute? Just fire this revelation that has entered your spirit. Just pray in tongues in 1 minute. Light is entering your spirit. Let light come, O God, that will take away darkness. Hallelujah. Now listen, follow me. Let me continue my story. Thank you, Jesus. The moment Adam came, listen, please. Because see, Adam was so mighty, Satan could not look at him and confront him. He had to come through his wife. Are you seeing that? This Adam we talk about was not a small person. No. He was God's own mold. Satan could not confront Adam directly. That's why he waited. And Eve, through his Eve, the same way Satan cannot confront Jesus, he has to now try to get the dominion through the bride, the Eve, the church. The church is the Eve of the second Adam now. So the same way Satan collected the keys of dominion from Adam through Eve, he wants to take the keys of dominion through the church, the Eve, the bride of Christ. Are you understanding me? And so he came to Eve and did all that he did. What did Satan really collect in the Garden of Eden? Please look at me. I need to explain this to you. There are three things that man lost in the Garden of Eden. Number one is dominion, the keys. Remember, the Bible tells us that Satan had the keys. Is that true? That was the reason why when Jesus was born, Satan being the legal from Genesis 1 until Jesus died and resurrected, the legal custodian of the earth realm, not just the system, the earth realm was Satan, because God willed it to man. Are you following me now? Satan collected it. But what Satan could not collect is that image. Are you getting me? If Satan collected the image, the Holy Spirit would have been in him. He never got it. God shielded his image in a personality called the Holy Spirit. That's why Satan tries to get anointing and finds out that it's still not the presence, because the image is not a thing, it's a person. Are you getting me now? He thought God just breathed air, but it was the presence of a personality, the spirit of the living God. Are you following me? So all of that drama happened in the Garden of Eden. And then there was a pronouncement to Satan. He said, the seed of the woman, remember, shall do what? Bruise the head. Satan paid careful attention to that prophecy, because he knew that God does not waste words. The seed of the woman, because Satan is not omniscient, he doesn't know all things. The only woman in the Garden of Eden was Eve. So he started taking note of Eve. When they were banished, Eve gave birth to Cain. Immediately Satan entered Cain. He thought Cain was that seed of the woman. Are you getting it now? So he found out, because he did not know. He had never seen a man and a woman reproduce. So he was shocked to see that a man can sleep with a woman and give birth to another man. And he entered Cain. Then he found out that Adam did it again. Ah! He said, Cain, kill Abel. Are you seeing now? You get the whole story? That was why Cain was the first person who started the concept of what we call the world system, Babylon. The Bible says Cain built a city and named it after his son Enoch. Cain first departed from the presence of God. He came out of the governing influence of God and built a city with the mindset of rebellion. And that's why the Bible says there was no more envoy for God to walk with. And then Adam knew his wife again, and she gave birth to Seth. And he said, in that day, men began to call upon the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. So from that journey, Genesis 1, all through, Satan started searching for anybody that looked like the seed of the woman. Are you seeing that? When they gave birth to Moses, the spirit of the Antichrist responded in Pharaoh. He said, kill everybody. Are you seeing that? So it was a whole journey of the seed of the woman. When Noah came, The way Noah started acting, he suspected. And so people, watch this. Satan started, and this is where I want to come in now. Please listen. I'm about to bring a very striking revelation. The Bible says in a matter of time, this disembodied spirit, I hope you know that spiritual beings can materialize themselves and have a material body. It's possible. Absolutely possible. These angels were thinking of how to corrupt the genes. That's why we say regeneration, regene, a regening. Are you seeing that? Because the gene had been polluted. So the Bible says in the days of Noah, these spirit beings started dematerializing themselves and they came and started meeting the daughters of men. The Bible says sons of God. That word son of God there was not an accurate representation. It did not mean the sons as we know. They were just superhuman beings. So the only description was to call them sons of God. You get my point? Because the Bible says to no angel did he ever say thou art my son. So he cannot call angels sons. Are you getting me? I'm just proving it to you from scripture. So these angels started sleeping with the daughters of men. What did they want? Sex? No. They wanted to corrupt because they were looking for every woman. Because remember, the prophecy was on a woman. Ladies, I will show you why the devil is on your case. Just follow me. Are you getting that now? So you will see why many ladies, barrenness, trouble here, it's not your fault. This journey started. You inherited something that you don't even know anything about. I want to explain to you that it's not just about you. I thought I did something wrong. Hallelujah. Let me shift away from there. Praise God. Please, are you following my story? Now watch this. I want to explain something to you very powerful. Do you know that these angels came and slept with the daughters of men, and the product of that union between the sons of those angelic beings, are you getting me? And the daughters of men is what we call outcasts, Nephilims, the giants. People started coming with unusual qualities, six fingers, six toes, Goliath of Gath, Nimrod Cush. Nimrod married his mother, Semiramai. They started acting non-human. Are you getting me now? That was Semiramai, the queen of heaven. There's no time I would have explained all of these things for you. The mystery woman with 12 stars. So the Bible tells us, please listen. It says, when God saw that this thing was corrupted, he said Noah was the only righteous man. The word righteous there is the only man whose gene and his family was not yet polluted. And he said, build an ark quickly. He said, the way these entities are going, they will pollute the whole race. Since they found out they could not get the image, they said, let's corrupt everything so that whatever it is that God plans will not come to pass. You get the strategy? So they built an ark and hid 8 people inside. And then God judged the whole earth. After that, he brought out all of the people again. And they started a new race. Watch this. But because the atonement was not sufficient to cleanse man, Noah drank wine again. Few days after coming out of a serious issue, he drank wine. Are you seeing that? And a lot of things started happening again. Watch this. I want to tell you the origin of HIV and cancer. HIV and cancer, please listen to me. If you believe what I'm sharing with you, I'm going to explain to you this mystery, because these disembodied spirits found out that their operation is limited. They began to operate from the spirit realm directly. This is the mystery of what people call spirit husband, spirit wife, all these dream things. Are you receiving one? The people that come to you in the night to try to sleep with you, to press you, to molest you, and try to... Are you getting what I'm saying? Is it making sense to you? I'm giving you a balanced view. Both there are many of our deliverance people with all kinds of imbalanced things. Somebody adopted from somebody. Everybody did copy and paste, and the thing is getting horrible. I'm just trying to give you a very scriptural balance. This is not an issue of denomination. This is a story that has been there. Are you getting my point now? So what you call dream, the dream realm is a real realm. It's a realm of the spirit. Solomon met God in a dream. Was it a real encounter? Absolutely. Absolutely. Joseph met an angel that said, don't run away from me. Was it in a dream? Hallelujah. This is why a lot of people have all kinds of polluted dreams with different things. All of this oppression. One man came for one of our miracle services. He had HIV. I've shared his story. And I asked him, I said, you look like a very gentleman. What happened? And he said, sir, I was sleeping and somebody appeared to me with a syringe in a dream and told me this is HIV virus. Injected me and I woke up physically with it. So you think chloroquine, what was the, all those drugs will cure it? These things, let me tell you how HIV came. HIV is a product of the aberration between the cells of this materialized angelic spirit and human bodies. So it began to create unusual character, that unusual things that were degenerating the cell of man. Are you getting it now? This is the origin of cancer. Cancer is a mimicking of all fibroids and all these things. It's a mimicking of pregnancy. Are you not seeing that it happens around the womb? Why do women miscarry in the night, not in the morning? You get the whole thing? Now they've taught people that if you are old and you don't marry, it's natural. It's not natural, oh. It's not natural. I'm giving you a sound biblical truth. These cells, because they are coming from superhuman beings, they cause a lot of aberration. And these things have been transferred. This is what was transferred. You know that spiritual things are transferred through blood. They find their material expression through blood. By one man, sin came, not one woman. All right? Because it's the man that brings the seed. Is that true? Is that true? So you see a man with a big head, the child, big head. How did it come? You mean they crafted the head like that? This is the power of transference. Now watch this. Nimrod came. I'm trying to trace it down to the continent of Africa, because I'll soon round up right now. You know who that guy Nimrod? Nimrod Kush was a wizard. Are you getting me? Nimrod Kush was not a normal human being. This is the reason why he exerted enormous authority over the people. Nimrod Kush was not a pure human. That's why he said, let's build a city whose top will reach to the heavens and let us make a name for ourselves. And the Bible says, listen, he said Nimrod was a hunter. Africa, what was the occupation of our forefathers? Help me. You see that? Nimrod Kush was a hunter. Some of you are looking at me, my forefather is not a hunter. Who told you? This is how this tragedy came into the African continent. Watch this, please. When this thing came into Africa, the gospel was not in Africa. I hope you know tradition came to Africa way before the gospel. And a lot of things. Satan found a way of tying Africa down. And he used one principle. Everybody say covenants. Everybody say covenants. Notice that our forefathers gave birth to 10, 12, 15 children. No CS, no hospital. And they didn't die. Is that true? A woman alone will give birth to 15 children. And you see her. Her stomach is as flat as an arrow. You won't even believe she has given birth. Yet they use fire to give birth to all of them. They use zinc or dangerous materials to cut all of these things. Yet nothing happened. You know why? Because almost every religion and every tribe, this thing that they say your tribe is demonic, all our tribes are demonic. There is no tribe that is not demonic. So long as you're not in Africa, everybody before the gospel came worshiped something that was not Jesus, true or false. It's just that some were worse than some, but everybody worshiped something. Are you getting my point? And they went to meet these gods and all of these things for fruitfulness, fertility, product, what, all of these kinds of things. Watch this. Now the gospel started coming. Samuel Ajayi Crowder and all of these innocent SIM missionaries that came into Nigeria, they knew the death of Jesus, but they did not understand how to liberate people. They were not even open to the certain dimensions of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We appreciate their effort. So they brought the perspective of the gospel that they knew, evangelism. Are you getting me? So our fathers received it. That's all they knew. And they kept carrying it up and down. And because the devil cannot stop this thing, he started aberrating the systems, killing people, doing a lot of dangerous things. What is he looking for? Very simple. That image. Let me tell you something. Satan still believes that there is hope for him under only one condition. That if he can pollute the earth to be as bad as the days of Noah, God is going to wipe the earth again and start another race. So at least it will prolong his time. Are you getting me? Or if he gets too bad, he can still use man and maneuver a way to collect that key again. Remember, when Jesus came, Satan knew why he came. He came to collect the keys. That's why he met him after his fasting and prayer and said, Jesus, Jesus, come. You don't need to. I know where you are going with all this journey. Bow to me. Let me just give you the keys. You see the bargain? Bow to me. So Satan was not interested, because if Jesus was bowing to Satan, he would say, God, this is all I wanted. Now I have it. Case closed. Because Christ is the express image of the Father. So if Jesus bows to him, in the realm of the spirit, whoever you bow to, you have acknowledged your lordship. That's why it says, every knee shall. Are you getting that now? And every tongue confess that he's Lord. So he told Jesus, he said, this is the key. Watch this. The Bible says he took Jesus to a high mountain. Satan took Jesus, and Jesus did not resist him. Satan, I mean, he said, Jesus, follow me. And he took Jesus and showed him the glories. And Jesus could not do anything, absolutely, because he came as a man, and Satan still had the keys. Revelation 1 verse 1, I was he that was dead, but now I am alive and I hold the keys. Where did he get it? When he went to hell. Listen, Satan is a smart person. If Jesus collected those keys, you know what would have happened? Because there was no blood, Satan would have gotten it back. Are you getting me? He would have gotten it back. So Jesus said, there must be a shedding of blood. So I didn't just come to collect the keys, and that thing scared Satan. And so Jesus disguised himself. That's why Paul said, if they have known this, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. That means Jesus disguised himself. If Satan ever knew that that blood was going to be the last bus stop, he would have done everything to make sure that Jesus did not die. Wisdom. Hallelujah. What does this tell you? I'm going to be explaining certain things, because I'll explain to you there are three weapons of victory that the Bible puts for the church. It says there are three that bear witness in heaven: the Spirit, the Word, and what? The Father, the Word, and the Spirit. That means these three spiritual entities constitutes the ultimate as far as heaven is concerned. But he said, when it comes to the earth realm, there are three spiritual forces: the Spirit, the Water, and the Blood. He says, anytime these three agree, there is no door that it will not open. Are you getting me? The revelation of the Spirit came, the charismatic move. Are you getting me? So people began to do great things. People filled with the Holy Ghost. At a point in time, they found out that there was a lot of carnality coming in. Then the revelation of the Water, the Word. People like Papa Hagin started coming in with the revelation of the Word, the Water, the power of the Word to produce results. But now we have spoken. The last revelation that will be revealed is the revelation of the Blood. That is God's last card. When he stamps it, it unites these three entities. There is no door, my brothers and sisters, that will not open. Let me share one more thing and then we'll pray. Genesis 32. Have I blessed you so far? Satan is a demonic entity that thrives on ignorance. Thrives happily on ignorance. 32. This is what you must do tonight. I wanted to share a lot of things, but I'm shocked to see that it's past 3 now. Hallelujah. Honestly speaking, kind. I've not even... Anyway, let's... Wherever, just stop because I need to minister to us by the grace of God. Just stop. Some of these messages, they are free, they are available, you can get it. We thank God for what we have. At least we have something, isn't it? By the grace of God. Yes. Verse 22. Genesis 32, verse 22. This is what everybody must do tonight. This is your own role. And he rose up that night, speaking about Jacob now, and took his 2 wives and his 2 women servants and his 11 sons and passed over for Jabbok. 23. And he took them and sent them over the brook and sent them over what he had. And Jacob was left alone. Look up, please. Jacob came to a point in his life where he was tired and he needed change. Hallelujah. What did he do? Jacob looked at his wives and said, "Wives, I love you, but I need an encounter with God alone. Please go." He drove his maid servants, his possessions, and the Bible says, when he was alone, if you can be alone tonight, a man will walk into your life. Are you getting me? What God is about to do in this place is not just a congregational thing. God is visiting people. The Bible says when he was alone and there he wrestled with him a man until the breaking of day. Verse what now? 25. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. That's the first thing, or the second thing that must happen. It is said biologically that about the thigh of a man is about one of the strongest part of his body. You must acknowledge that you cannot help yourself tonight if God is to step in and help you. Hallelujah. There are many people that believe what they are telling God is, "God, agree with me, let's solve this problem." God is not your mate, he is King of Kings. So you've got to step out and say, "Lord, I cannot pretend. I've done everything I know to do. Can you step in and help me?" Then you will see his hand. And he said, "Let me go, for the day breaketh." And he said, "I will not let thee go except thou bless me." Same request of Jabez, that thou wouldest bless me. Hallelujah. Verse 27. And he said to him, "What is your name?" In other words, what have you been known with for now? What is that situation you want me to change? What is that false identity that the devil is trying to give you? Failure, cancer. And he said, "My name is Jacob, a cheat and a supplanter." And he said, "Thy name shall be called no more Jacob." May that be somebody's prophecy. The Bible says a time will come, this proverb will no longer be used in Israel. Hallelujah. "But Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." And Jacob asked him and said, "Tell me, I pray thee, thy name." And he said, "Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?" And he blessed him there. Listen, and Jacob called the name of the place Peniel. "For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved." And he passed over Peniel, and the sun rose. I pray that this darkness that has been lingering around your life, that because of the encounter you will have, you will name your life and destiny Peniel, and the sun will rise for you again. Hallelujah.
It's gotta be more, gotta be more, gotta be more than this.
Medical machines cannot detect the presence of spirits. A machine cannot tell you that there is a yoke of bondage in your life. Listen, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you something. I apologize if you don't admit it. Curses are real. Yokes are real. Are you hearing me? Demonic bondages are real. God has already told you that he has finished this thing. It is left for you to align with him to make that happen. What we are about to do this night is not doing anything new. The same way you give, when you give, you are not trying to do something new. You are giving because you believe that the Bible says you are blessed, and your giving is actualizing it. So when the power of God is released, it is compelling your life to conform to the finished work of Christ that has been established on Calvary. Are you getting me? I say this because many of you are going to be surprised tonight. You may never have believed that the things going through in your life are demonic yokes of darkness, sicknesses. He said the enemy has done this. Sister, let me tell you, if these things are not addressed, you may never get married. It's not the issue of I love God and I'm praying in tongues. Hear me. When you have fasted and prayed about a thing and it does not go, it's a sign that Satan is operating on a legal ground. Are you hearing me? Let me use you one last example. Brother, please come. Everybody look at me. If my brother, assuming you are a thief, if you are trying to steal this speaker and it's my speaker, when you hear footsteps coming, you will run away. Is that true? Because he's a thief. But now, if this brother goes behind and sells this speaker for you, if you see me coming, will you run? Are you getting the point? So you say, Satan, leave me, I'm born again. And he says, who has authorized you? Even Jesus, when it was time for him to re-enter the earth after his death, they said, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted, O ye ancient doors. The gates said, who is this King of glory? They asked questions. The gates were humans. They could talk. The Bible says they were called ancient. They had been there. You know why? Because every man who resurrected, somebody from the earth realm had to call him back. But this is somebody that is calling himself, and the gates said, we will not open. This is where power comes in, because it will take power to keep Satan where he belongs. Psalm 63, 66 verse 3. Drummer, instrumentalist, please come up. Hallelujah. It's time for us to... Where's the drummer? He's sleeping. Wake him. Oh, okay. Hallelujah. Zibakata prosha telemakuria dabaladaba. Psalm 66 verse 3. Okay, it's projected. Can you read? One to read. It didn't say through grammar. Through what? Through the greatness of thy power. That means when you tell this entity, leave me, let my job come. Leave me, let my marriage come. And he's refusing. God supplies the spirit power for you to compel them. He said, for I am a man under authority. And by reason of being under authority, I can tell one, go, and he must go. If he does not go, he will face judgment from the Roman government. And Jesus said, look at this man speaking a kingdom language. He understands that when you come under the authority of any kingdom, it becomes the responsibility of that kingdom to defend whatever your claims are. It is on that basis we have come tonight, to dislodge the gates of darkness once and for all. Are you hearing me? Once and for all.
It's gotta be more, gotta be more.
Bless you, sir.
Gotta be more than this.
Something will change in your life. You will now see that this delay in job is not the issue of your director. If you can listen to my message, give me this mountain. I taught on the spiritual dimension of life. There are spirits and giants on every mountain. Caleb said there are Anakims there, but he said, give me the mountain. I can take care of them. Are you getting me? You can see two people, but if you judge just from those two physical people, you are making a mistake. Every man, I was telling the pastor, at every given